Department Administrative Services. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I am George Dutton with the Department of Administrative Services. I know that you want to move this budget out. I think my comments will be fairly quick. You have a presentation document in front of you. I think it should be fairly standard. This budget in the governor's contract is a 4.9% decrease from the legislatively approved budget. That really is may be a little misleading. We have continued all the current service level programs of this budget. The issue, though, is that we had some limitation that was approved at the emergency board that we ended up backing out because there were not the federal funds there, so there's some fund shifts around. The Marine Board titles and registers about 200,000 recreational boats. It provides on-water law enforcement and also has money that it sends to counties and the Parks Department for facility development. Just real briefly down toward the bottom of the resources on the first page, we have the primary funding source for this agency is motorboat gas taxes. That's 52% of their budget. It accounts for about $10.9 million of this budget. These are monies that are collected at the pump by the Department of Transportation. We make the assumption that a certain percentage of those go to fill or to fuel motorboats in the state, and that the money from that is sent over to the Marine Board for their programs. On the second page, the second largest funding source for this agency is about 27% of the budget, or $5.5 million of the funds, are titling and registration fees for those vehicles. The third item and the third most significant are federal funds. It makes up about 18% of the budget, about $3 million, and it comes from two sources. First, we get money from the U.S. Coast Guard to do law enforcement out on the water. And second, we get about $600,000 for a Clean Vessel Act program where they actually do pump outs for vessels so that the wastewater is not dumped back into the ocean, but there's some place to properly dispose of it. In developing the governor's recommended budget, we started with the legislatively adopted budget of 18.5 total funds and 31 full-time equivalent positions. We had emergency board actions. We had the adjustment for the statewide salary adjustment. We also had some changes for federal funds midway through the biennium where the estimates that we do now are inaccurate, or Congress ends up choosing them midway through the biennium, and we come back to the emergency board and make that change. The current service level adjustments that you see there, again, the standard ones you've seen in every other budget. The changes here that you see lined out, the three bullets below that, are the changes in federal funds that we have, where we have eliminated federal funds or empty or made adjustments back and forth. With that, I'll turn to the policy packages, and I know that Paul will go into much more depth on these. I just want to highlight them for you so that the issues are in front of you. We have packages 100, 101, and 102. It stretches over the three program areas for this budget, which are the administration titling function, the law enforcement function, and also the facilities grant program. We have here an improvement to their business services with, first, we have reclassifying an existing computer support position, and then the second is continuing a limited duration accountant. Based on the workload that they've had, we feel that both of these positions are necessary. The reclasses have been reviewed by my agency and found to be appropriate. Package 103 is a proposal to study the need for mandatory education for voters. Package 104 and 105 provides outfit or program enhancement and funding additional law enforcement to be out there and make sure that we do not have illegal guide activities out there. Package 106 is the law enforcement program enhancement. What the issue there is that midway through the biennium, we were able to add some additional money from the Coast Guard. We pushed that money into our law enforcement contract so we can get additional on-water patrols, and those roll up, and so we have some this restoration or some roll-up of that issue, and that's what you see in Package 106. Package 107, our Clean Vessel Act and non-trailer and infrastructure grants. The Clean Vessel Act grant from the feds I mentioned earlier has increased. We're now able to start a new program for boats that are non-trailerable, they're in the water all the time, and develop some facilities to help those out. Finally, Package 108 is the Sport Fish and Restoration Grant. This is a partnership between the Marine Board and the Department of Fish and Wildlife. It will fund a physician and an engineer to help them develop some of their facility needs. The new programs, as I mentioned, is just that non-trailerable boats with the Clean Vessel Act grant money.
And finally, at the governor's revised budget, we have two changes, really. We have a fund shift is the first one. The money that we expected to come in for our law enforcement program is lower than we expected by about $76,000. But to offset that, the amount of money that's transferred from the Department of Transportation is going to be higher than we expected at the time we did the governor's budget by a like amount. So we're just going to shift, reduce federal funds, and replace it with other funds and leave the program whole. The second adjustment that we're making is that we had in the governor's budget, we were in the process of agreeing between the Department of Transportation and the Marine Board about how much money should be transferred to the agency for these gas taxes. At the time that we did that, we didn't know how much that transfer was going to be. We were afraid it may have dropped lower. So we kept about $155,000 in the ending balance that they had proposed to spend in the law enforcement program. Now that we have an agreement between the two agencies, we are proposing that they take that $155,000 out of their ending balance and put it back into the law enforcement program because they don't think that they need to keep it in ending balance and would rather have the money spent on on-water patrols than actually keeping people safe. Mr. Chair, with that, that concludes my presentation. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to.
James, Senator, to you.
How difficult was it to get an agreement with ODOT to devote your resources ought to be? I mean, they collect the money. You know how many voters there are out there.
Chair Turner, the issue is that we don't ever know how much actual money gets put into votes because no one collects that. So we make an estimate. We know how many votes we have. We have to make an assumption about how much fuel is consumed by those votes every year. And so that's where we get the disagreement. The Marine Board comes up with a model, and then the Department of Transportation comes up with a model, and we've worked down now where we have agreed to use a survey. And there's actually a bill, House Bill 2811, which transfers that responsibility to my department, Department of Administrative Services. Department of Transportation will contract with us. We will contract with Oregon State University or some higher educational institution to actually go out and do a survey of voters to come up with that independent estimate. And so from this point forward, it should be fairly straightforward.
Okay, further questions? Thank you. Call Don Hefner, and if I could get you to keep your presentation to about 15 minutes, we're going to try to go through workplace today.
Well, Mr. Chairman, call for the record, Paul Don Hefner, Director of the Marine Board. I have a prepared presentation if you want me to go through it, but I think George has really summarized the budget in brief. If you'd like, I can go through this.
I'd like to maybe have you highlight the decision packages and policy packages.
Okay.
And center in on those because that's what we really have to probably deal with the most.
Let me do that. I just give you, first off, for members that may not be familiar with our agency, just a few facts back on who we are. This is our 40th anniversary. The board was created in the 1959 legislature. Five member board, 20 by government, 36 employees, our only office is here in Salem. We have nearly 200,000 direct customers. We found out last year that we reported that nearly half a million non-motorized boats in the state that also get services from us, although they don't contribute.
Excuse me, Paul, could you turn this microphone here on the end of the table towards you? If that might pick up his voice.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I think the key thing about our budget, no general fund, it's 100% user fees. User pays, user benefits. You can see that here the growth we've had in registration over the last 10 years, we picked up nearly 40,000 new boats. So growth is an issue in our budget in terms of providing additional services to take care of safety. We have three main program areas that the budget's developed around: administration and education, where we do all of our title and registration work, marine enforcement, and our third program area is boating facilities, where we provide food to local government for construction. Some fast facts on registration. We do use 140 agents around the state to collect that money, so we don't have much overhead in terms of our registration program. We do also register outfitters and guides, and that's one of the packages that we have, but it's not going anywhere. some of the things that we do under administration, a lot of waterway regulation and rulemaking, trying to resolve conflicts with all the different users in the state, particularly personal watercraft. We picked up 10 years ago, we had 800 personal watercraft. Today, we've got nearly 13,000. Tremendous growth.
Yes. What's a personal watercraft?
Jet ski.
So we're not counting boats, or that's just the
jet ski,
the fancy stuff we're having today.
13,000 jet skis. Some of the things that we do in terms of public education, publications, ads, things that we target are boating under the influence, wearing life jackets, other things to promote public education.
Jim, there did.
License
floating homes and boat
houses? Yes. We have about 900,000.
So you have some relationship with Division of State Land?
We issue a title for them, and that's for the purposes of securing a lien so that they can get a preferred mortgage for those properties.
Yeah.
It's a one-time, good for a lifetime title that we issue for those.
Okay.
So they have a security interest document.
Some shacks and things like that, too?
Some. Most of them are in the Portland metropolitan area. Marine law enforcement, George mentioned, we contract with 32 counties as well as state police to provide on-water patrol. We provide training and certification of them. We just completed a two-week training at the Camp Arlea. They're out there providing safety on the water for the state. Boating facilities, we provide grants to local governments, cities, counties, park districts, state parks, some of the federal agencies we partner with to provide new facilities. The Clean Vessel Act provides funding to provide pump out stations. And we just completed a new six-year plan. I would note that the new plan, which is good through 2005, we have a copy over here if you'd like to look at it, documents the need for over $80 million in new facilities improvements over the next 6 years.
Marie?
Paul, when you have, when you increase pump stations, do you connect them to the nearest city's sewage system? I mean, does this impact their sewer system?
Chairman Sender, yes, they are normally connected to a municipal sewer system, and we've studied the impact of that, and it's very important. It's no different really than putting a restroom in.
Follow-up question.
Yes.
Near Jefferson, a lot of tourists, my constituent tourists said to me they would like to see dumping station capacity increase, but it can increase because it has to be connected to the Jefferson City sewer system, and their system cannot handle it. So I just want to know, do you have the same problem?
Sheriff Senator Yee, we have not encountered that problem in the coastal forts and communities where we've been putting these in. I believe you're referring to an RV dump station, and on a place like I-5, that would be a very heavily used facility. Well, we don't nearly put the kind of demand on it from a boat marina. They're much less frequently used. Okay, we can skip over boating dimensions. Oregon is a small boat state. 90% of our boats are less than 20 feet. This is the growth in use again, boating activity, other steps of the package, and less group for an interest in some of that. We did talk about revenues previously. The one thing I would note here, the package on Outfitter Guide was contingent on a bill that's in the House. It's not going to come out of committee, and so we can drop that package. Motorboat fuel tax was a big question mark when we put the budget together. We've since resolved that with ODOT and, as George mentioned, House Bill 2811, which will be on the floor next week, puts in statute the survey methodology that we're going to use on that, and it ends a lot of disagreements that we've had in the past. The revenues, I think, are stable. We've been at, get the packages here. Okay. Higher level. critical. The first is spread across three program areas. It improves and enhances business services. This is the reclassification of our information ticket person as well as the accounting position that George mentioned has been reviewed by a DAS found to be appropriate. Package 103 is linked to the use of mandatory education. According to safety education, it's $50,000 in federal funds that we're receiving from the Coast Guard that we want to use to study and implement mandatory education in Oregon. Package 104 and 105 were to enhance administration and law enforcement of the outfit of guide program that was tied to the bill I just mentioned, but we're requesting that 104 and 105 be dropped. They're not going anywhere. 106 was law enforcement enhancement to continue the roll-up that we had from an e-board last year with federal funds. This continues those enhancements at county level, rolling it up for 24 months. Package 107 in the facilities program was the Clean Vessel Act and the non-trailerable part. These were reauthorized last year as a part of the T21 legislation, and so Clean Vessel had been around before, but the non-trailerable is new, and that's all federal funds. And finally, Package 108 is a partnership with the Department of Fish and Wildlife using sport fish restoration grants to the engineering services for the projects that we do in partnership with the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Senator Newton?
Could you explain that one a little bit more?
Package 108?
Yeah.
The Department of Fish and Wildlife will be federal aid under the Sport Fish Recreation Act. And 15% of that money is earmarked towards public access, launch ramps, facilities, that type of thing. We frequently partner with the Department of Fish and Wildlife on those projects because we have money for floating facilities construction. They have federal funds that require a 25% non-federal match. We provide the non-federal match to them and blend those projects together and put them out to local governments. To accomplish those projects in partnership with Fish and Wildlife, this is to provide technical assistance, and they're going to co-share in this 75-25 federal funds, and we're going to match it with other funds so that we can provide the technical services to carry out those projects.
Since you're reducing facility grants to counties, so
in order
25% of the county grant money is coming, will that go into
technical services?
Person.
Technical services. You pay for it one way or another.
Representative Carr?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, are any of these packages tied to the bill that's coming to the floor during this voter licensing?
This package 103 would help us with the implementation of that. If the bill was not to pass, and it is going back to the floor next week, but if the bill were not to pass, we would continue to use that to study the need and ways of implementing mandatory education as we gear up towards 2001.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, Paul. Ms. Jordan, do you want to make some comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have my memo with the recommendations in front of you.
Just a minute. We're going to work session on Senate Bill 5528, Oregon State Marine Board. So we're all losing here.
Okay.
Mr.
Chairman, I have a question for Paul before we start the budget.
Okay.
Thank you. Paul, the overall budget reduces slightly from $21.6 million to $20.6 million. But the FTE increased by almost four. So how can you reduce funding on the one hand and increase FTE on the other hand?
Chairman, Senator Yee, there are some fund shifts within our budget. There are some new funds coming into the program. Part of the reduction is the fact that there were one-time expenditures that we had in the 97-99 budget. There was nearly $1 million in one-time money that isn't here any longer. And in addition to that, we've added several new programs involving federal funds. So there's been some shifts in the states, if you will, involving federal funds and other funds. And as a part of that, we've identified a need for positions in totaling three positions in packages 101, 102, which is a continuation. In the first package, that's a continuation of the limited duration position. So we currently have it as limited duration. It's being converted to permanent. And in package 107, there's a new position associated with federal funds, and in package 108, a new position associated with federal funds. So that's where we're adding those positions. But the overall decline in the budget is due to the fact that there were some one-time expenditures in 97-99.
I still don't understand how do you reduce funding and still increase maybe as we go through the budget, it would be
we're gonna deal with it here in the work session momentarily. So okay. If you have a question, you might want to keep it until we get to that session.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ms. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The worksheet behind the memo detail the numbers in the memorandum. I won't see those. But my recommendation is to approve the budget in the amount of $20,223,511.34 FTE, and that is by approving the Section 1 Other Funds Administration Education of $3,106,273, that is deferring action on the Policy Package 104 relating to the Guide Outfitter Program enhancement. And
Mr. Chair, I want to describe the same sheet.
It's the memorandum from the Legislative Assistant Office. That also includes a adjustment of $289 for the Attorney General economy. Subsection 2 for Marine law enforcement of $6,894,527 includes an increase in special payments for state police of $543,969. To more accurately reflect the number of hours state police stepped in and around the waterways, that's co-chair of budget direction. And it deletes the action on the guide, the policy package on the guide outfitter program. Those expenditure limitations can be included in the substance of bill if they should pass the legislature. And then subsection 3, facilities construction and maintenance, is $7,238,756. The state police increase is a shift from the facilities area to the marine law enforcement, so there's no decrease in law enforcement activities. And then under Section 2, federal funds for administration and education, a total of $110,883. That does back out to the policy package for mandatory education, since it is tied to substantive legislation that can be included in the substantive bill or emergency board. So that is also backed out. Marine law enforcement in subsection 2, $2,700,675. That is the governor's budget. And facilities construction maintenance of
$871,280.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Jones. Susie, how many state police will
we get
into this new
one
that
we're
getting
into
this budget?
We're not getting any new state police. We're increasing the funding for the existing police in the Fish and Wildlife area.
If I can, in our Public Safety Committee, we have already dealt with the state police budget. We used some of the funding from the Marine Board to supplement those officers and contract work for the Marine Board. Contract work with game enforcement and some of these other things related to fishing activities. So what this in essence is administrative transfer of the funds that reflects the actual fines spent by the state police on behalf of the Marine Board. These are not new positions. they are existing positions. So,
who was paying for them before?
They were partially funded by general fund, they were partially funded by fish and game licenses, salmon enhancement, you name it, and it's been there.
I was just curious. It seems, I mean, I like the state police a lot, but it seems like they got some additional officers in their budget, and they're getting some in the OGSW budget, and they're getting some out of Measure 66. And
These are existing officers that the county contract for.
Okay, and the money's coming out of the facility grants that would be going to. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's it. That's my recommendation. All right.
Department of Administrative Services, have any comments?
Mr. Chair.
You've looked at these numbers and you feel comfortable with it?
Mr. Chair, we understand what's going on and we can agree with that, yes.
Okay. Mr. John Hefner, you have looked at the numbers as well, met with the staff.
Yeah.
And you're agreeable with these numbers?
I would like to, in regard to the state police piece of it, I'd be more comfortable with it if we had a mutual understanding that in the past with Sonic State Police, we've simply contracted with them for about $400,000 of biennium as a percentage of their overall budget, and that was the basis of the contract. We're now talking about nearly $1 million worth of funding on the state police statewide. If it's understood that we will change the basis of our contracting with them to reflect hours of service to be provided and places where it will be provided so that there's accountability, then I'm comfortable with it. But currently, for example, they report some 600 hours of patrol to us for the $400,000 that we provide them. That would work out to $200 and some odd dollars per hour if that was accurate. Clearly, they're not able to document the hours they're spending on voting today, although I do believe they provide some valuable service there. I think as we start ratcheting up the amount of funding that goes to them, there needs to be a commensurate increase in accountability. And as long as it's understood that the basis of our contract with them will be for services to be rendered on the same footing that we contract with counties, where we're contracting for so many hours of service, and where it is, and they report back, and there's accountability for it, then okay.
Ms. Jersey?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the state police are painfully aware that they haven't done a very good job of documenting the amount of time that they're spending in the field, and their budget report does reflect a note to do just that, a better job, and to work with the Marine Board on those hours. So the accountability is then they've been instructed to take care of that.
Just for whatever it's worth, again, I know that the state police budget is converting this session, but I have a county commissioner who, when I go home, will ask me about this and remind me one more time that the county sheriff is cheaper than the state police. And that's who's been doing most of our law enforcement.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Senator Yee.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. I still have a question on 108. We are funding this position by reducing facility grants to counties. I mean, I really don't understand why we want to reduce facility grants to counties to fund this position. I mean, counties don't have enough grants as it is. Why are we reducing that amount to help fund for this position?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator, you'd like to address that. We've discussed this package with our stakeholders in county government and the parks people. We've discussed the need for this package, and I believe that they are very supportive of the slight reduction in sort of grants, which is more than offset by the increased services that they receive on grant projects. So I think that they are very supportive of Package 108. I believe Brian Carroll is here today from the Oregon Parks Association, which one of the largest group of stakeholders in the facilities program, and I believe that they are in strong support of Package 108.
Another question.
Yes, please.
What does this facility engineer do?
Chairman, Senator Yee provides the services on the projects that Fish and Wildlife and the Marine Board fund together to design the facilities that are to be built. It works closely with county government, and perhaps Brian Carroll can amplify on it, but works closely with county government to figure out the design and the specifications and the things that they need to do to make these projects work. Local governments don't have that capability for the most part, and so this is a technical service that we provide for them, and it's worked very well, and they've been very appreciative of that service. Without it, I fear that it would cost us quite a bit more in the long run to do it otherwise.
Chairman,
yes.
You're adding four positions to what you have. I mean, don't you have staff now that can take care of the design of programs?
Paul, I think the question is, if you add actually 3.75 positions, and what the Senator is trying to get to the bottom of is how do you reduce the overall budget, the overall expenditures. We understand there's budget shifts going on in this budget, but how do you increase 3.75 FTE at the same time you're about $1 million less than what you're currently operating under now?
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Jordan.
Members of the committee, in the last biennium, the board received additional federal funds that they used for facility grants and additional marine enforcement. That money was a one-time grant expenditure that was backed out of the budget. That's why the budget reflects a lower dollar amount than the current request. It is possible that during the biennium, the federal government may again come back with grant monies, which has been pretty typical of Marine Board activities, and they will come then to the Emergency Board and ask for another expenditure limitation for those facility grants and/or law enforcement contracts.
Does that answer your question, Cindy?
No, I have another question, Mr. Chairman. So you mean they're anticipating more federal dollars? So how can they ask for more positions before the dollars come?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, they're not anticipating more federal dollars for the FTE. The FTE are increases for, in the business services area, there is one FTE for increased workload that is covered by their fees and other funds that come into the agency to handle administrative tasks. The other two FTE are tied to grant programs for money that they already receive, and it's to handle the additional workload. The in 108, the one FTE that they're asking for is to provide technical services for local governments who are seeking grants for their marine activities, boats, grants, that kind of construction activity in their local county and.
But the corresponding increase in money to fund for those new positions?
Yes, Mr. Chair, RVA, that is, there is new money coming from the Department of Fish and Wildlife to fund Package 108. We haven't previously done it. We sat down with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, worked out that package. They're in full support, full agreement. It is federal funds that they're receiving under the Sport Fish program. They increased the percentage for facilities construction from 12.5% to 15% of their overall funding. That was a federal change in the federal law, and that added a window of opportunity of money then provides new money for the
office. I want to see how that is calculated. When you increase positions, you have increased funding, but the overall budget is a $1 million decrease.
So instead of taking the committee's time, you can show me the mess afterwards. But I'm a no until I see the mess.
Okay. Further questions? Representative Patrick.
Mr. Chair, I've been House Bill 5528 with the LFO recommendation.
Representative Patrick now moves the LFO recommendation of $20,446,529. The FTE is 34.75.
Mr. Chair.
Yes,
I'm sorry, there's an error in my memo. The total budget should be
$20,223,511. Okay.
$20,223,511.
Okay.
That's what you have.
Not here.
I, error in my memo.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, you have it in the
chart. Now, is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Kisak?
Aye.
Yee?
No.
Lim?
Aye.
Duke?
Aye.
Cannon?
Aye.
Beck?
Aye.
Cassidy?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
And the motion carries. Would somebody in the House like to carry this bill? Representative Patrick? And with somebody in the Senate, like to carry it. And the member said in the Senate, there's a 2 cents in the carriage from the post. If there is no other business, we are adjourned until 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Okay. A reminder that we are meeting at 8 now. Because that floor session started at 10.
Right.
Doesn't give us that a good time.
No. And we'll see you on Friday.
And we're scheduled for Friday this week. As your full.
And
so we're adjourned.